I'm Ken Hemmings, and he is Chris Lang, and welcome to another of these regular property briefings. Again, a warm welcome to you, Chris.
As always, it's a delight to be with you.
This is now our 88th episode, and so I've had the chance to observe you in action, so to speak, over a reasonable period of time. It seems to me that you are highly organized and know exactly where you're going. Tell me, is having a clear focus one of the key ingredients for success with commercial property?
That's an interesting question, Ken. And it's something that we addressed in the full-day workshop I held in October 2014 for my mentor group. As I explained to them that, and it was how to double your productivity in 48 hours was the segment that we covered in that workshop. But the thing I point out to them is that they, for most investors, buying commercial property is not a full-time job. I mean, sometimes it develops into that, either as a full-time investor or over time you might leave your job and become a full-time investor. But for most people, they start out at part-time, and therefore they have to be productive and organized so that it doesn't detract from their main activity. But equally, in your main activity, where you generate your income, and it may well be salaried or commission income, you ought to be organized so that you have time to do your commercial property investing. Because either way, you don't want to be just devoting a minimal amount of time taking shortcuts and getting into trouble. Now, as I said, whether it's your full-time activity or the commercial property investing. And so it's important that you are organized and productive. You know, I talk to people about this and I ask them, what's the difference between being efficient and effective? Now, if you're efficient, you're doing the job right. If you're effective, you're doing the right job right. That's a subtle difference, but the impact is quite dramatic. Now, before you can become totally effective, you have to know where you're going. You have to have a pathway mapped out. Otherwise, all you're doing is reacting to what happens on a day-to-day basis. And you, as I said, you might be doing it very efficiently, but it's probably the wrong things that you're doing. You're allowing the, as they say, the tyranny of the urgent. You're majoring in minor things rather than you taking charge of your life and setting up clearly defined goals. So the answer to your question is yes, it is important to have a clear focus, but it's not just for commercial property. You need to have it in every aspect of your life so that you can get the most out of every day, and that doesn't necessarily mean working flat out every moment. Sometimes you can do more in 2 or 4 hours than you can in 2 days just by becoming focused, and therefore, in my view, it's one of the most important things or skills that you need to develop.
Can you remember when you first developed this skill for formulating clearly defined goals?
Well, for me, it probably happened without even being aware of it. And it wasn't until later, when I realized what I had done, that I discovered the power in goal setting, that I started to take a real interest and apply it to the rest of my life. But you see, at the age of 5, I contracted polio and spent 6 months in bed, well, 6 months in plaster. They tried to confine me to bed, but a 5-year-old just won't wear that, so I ended up hopping everywhere. And I couldn't be operated on This was in the lower part of my body, was in my left leg. It couldn't be operated on until I was 12 years old. And at that point, they successfully extended the Achilles tendon about 5 or 6 centimetres so I could at least put my heel on the ground. But I was told, or the family was told, that I would walk all right, but I'd never play any sport again, which I loved. And I guess when I overheard that conversation, I decided I wanted to prove them wrong. I wanted to be able to play and compete competitively with a great sport because I just loved it. And so I took to the rehab exercises, probably doing 2 and 3 times as much as was prescribed. And as a result, I ended up playing in the school first 18 AFL footy for 3 years in a row, and also ended up winning the all schools, all Victorian schools, high jump with a leap of 195 centimetres. So, you know, it just showed me that when you need more than passion, you have to have a plan. And I mapped it out. I mean, I've got metres and metres of film, because they didn't have video back in those days, that I had my father and others take of me and other people so I could model my style of high jumping on the experts at the time. So it went into great depth. And so I realised that if once you have a clear goal and a focus, and as I said, you do need the passion to go with it. There's no good setting a goal that you don't have a passion about. But when you do that and have a plan, you are able to achieve almost anything that is humanly possible. And that's when I started to extend that into other areas of my life.
It sounds as though you shouldn't be merely setting income and career goals.
No, you're right, Ken. I mean, most people, when they set goals, tend to focus on the income or revenue they generate and also their career goals. And that's the wrong thing. You have an unbalanced life. You know, as a child growing up at school, yes, you got to pass grades, and I didn't do that well at grades, so I had to set a whole new set of goals when I managed to struggle into university, but that's a whole nother conversation. But you have to have a balanced life. So you've got your career, obviously. You've got your income or investment goals. Should have goals for family and friends. You should have goals for ongoing learning, for health, and your spiritual goals. So there should be a rounded life that you've got. Now, also when you're setting your goals, some people only set one-year goals. Or they don't realise that, but that's when they start documenting it, that's what it is. Or they've got 10-year goals. They don't have any 3 or 5-year goals. Now, if you've got 10-year goals, that's not a problem because you can break them down into what you'll achieve in 5 and 3 and then down to 1-year goals so that you can set these milestones along the way. But it all starts with what I call your dream list. And that's where you ask yourself effectively 6 separate questions so that you can prod and extract ideas and thoughts. And I mean, when I first did this formally, I think I ended up with something like pretty close to 80 items on the list. And I'm not going to go into the specifics, but there's 1 or 2 that I'm still haven't yet achieved. Well on the way to getting there, but because they're on that list early, I've been able to take steps as the opportunities arose to move closer and closer to achieving those goals. Most of them, yes, I've achieved them, well and truly, and I've set a whole lot new goals. So it all starts with your dream list, where there's no judgment or trying to expound upon them or work out whether they're achievable or whatever. You just put them down. And so you generate this huge list, and then you start to, as I said, break them into the different aspects of your life and also a time frame from which to view them. And then you can start to take those one-year goals and work out what steps you have to do on a month-by-month basis so that you can get into to considerable detail, and they become actionable steps. So they're not like most people do. They set their New Year's goal, New Year's resolutions, and most people don't even write them down. If you write them down, you're probably 90% of the way there, believe it or not. But even then, just writing them down won't make them come true or become real. You have to work out the action steps along the way. You have to chunk them down into bite-sized pieces so that you can make progressive and positive steps towards achieving those longer-term goals. So it's not rocket science, but it's something that requires a discipline. And once you do it, it becomes second nature, and you find yourself planning it out. You know, one of the important things is, you know, with your family, at the beginning of a year, you should actually put your holiday in first, because then there's two reasons for that. One, it'll excite you throughout the year. You know that you're planning. If you're beginning the year and you plan to go later in the year, August, September, October, maybe something out of the winter to somewhere warm, or you might be going skiing during the winter. But the fact that you put it in there keeps you excited working towards it, and you'll find that you'll arrange other things around it. Otherwise, if you just plough into the year, you'll find that everything else will crowd out, and then you might manage to get a week here or couple of weekends somewhere else, and you're really not taking the proper holiday that you should. So it's getting those big items and scheduling them in your diary, and then you'll find the smaller items will work around them.
Having clearly defined your goals and written them down, how rigid should they be?
There's a difference between rigid and real. Now, the purpose of writing it down is to make it real. It's tangible. It's believable. It has an end date to it, so that you're now working with something of substance as far as a goal is concerned. Now, a lot of people feel awkward committing to writing because they feel once it's in writing, that's it, you're locked in. Well, that's partly true, but circumstances will change, and the goals don't have to be fixed in size. Sometimes you might find that you've written a goal that it's going to be easily achieved. You might have set a goal for 3 years to reach a certain position or career or earn a certain income, and through circumstances, all of a sudden, you've reached that goal within the first year. So you reset the goal again and make the challenge still believable, but further out to stretch you. So, as I said, there's a difference between real and rigid. Goals can change, but at least if they're written down, you can change something. If they're not written down, you can't change or amend anything. And that's the difference. You should continually be reviewing your goals. You might, as I said, you might set them down, some of 5 or 10 year goals, and all of a sudden you find that there has been a change, an extra promotion you've got that takes you in a certain direction. You might be transferred interstate or overseas, and one of your goals was that you wanted to visit somewhere overseas, and you had it 5 years out because you couldn't see how you were going to do it. But with the transfer in your job, it might just be a weekend trip from England to France, depending where you're based, as opposed to a whole 24-hour flight. So, you know, there has to be flexibility, but the important thing is it's written down, documented, and provides you with the focus that you need. And just going back for a moment to the university days, that's when I developed a system for doing this and formalized it, and actually years later ended up co-writing a book with my oldest daughter called Your Future Success, which was to help students make the move through studying, how to study or take notes, how to study and pass exams. And as I said, it was more, that's when it really got formalized and went to the market, and it sold well. But as I said, look, it's not rocket science, but it's something that will stand you in good stead all your life.
You mentioned the book you co-wrote with your daughter. Would that be of help to our listeners?
Well, look, I'm sure it would, probably more use to their children or grandchildren. But it certainly has within it the necessary structure and discipline that's required to set goals. But what I've done for my clients is I've actually put together a short series of videos, one of which is to help them set goals. And it walks you through the whole process. And you can, beneath the video, it's got some resources. It's got the dream list, which you can download and fill in as you go along. It's got the sheet that helps you balance it between the various aspects of your life and through 1 through 10 years. And then also the detailed sheet when you start to chunk it down and get into monthly bite-sized pieces. So all of that would be very helpful. And I think the video would be more useful probably at this time in their life than the book. But I'm more than happy to give you a link to put up on the website for the video, and also a link where if they want to get the book, they can certainly do that. But it's just important to be prepared to actually commit yourself and planning for the rest of your life to paper so that you have a structure. And I can tell you, once you get it out of your head onto paper, the feeling of release is extraordinary. Because you've now, instead of having the things running around your head, you've now got it down on paper and you've got a plan of things you want to achieve. You can always add to them, and there may be some things you put on there that in a year's time you think, look, that seemed important 12 months ago, but really in the whole scheme of things with these other goals, that's a distraction. So you just cross it off the list. But if it's not on the list, you can't even make that decision. So hopefully that's been useful.
When we started today, I wasn't exactly sure where this would take us, but it's been fascinating, and I only hope our listeners have got as much from it as I did.
Oh, it's been a pleasure, Ken, and I'll make sure that those links you have where they can grab the book for the students and also to watch the video I've put together for clients on goal setting.
So all they need to do is to go to propertybriefings.com and look below the podcast for episode 88.